Hello again, and thanks for checking out another Knowledge Base podcast brought to you by eMoney Advisor. This is Brett Tharp, and I will be hosting today's episode. And in this conversation, I sit down with Ryan Coburn, Director of Financial Planning and Chief of Staff at Atlas Private Wealth Managers. I pick Ryan's brain, how he and his firm are using eMoney to collaborate throughout the planning process and maximize engagement with their clients. And with all of that said, let's begin. Thanks for taking the time to join the Knowledge Base podcast today, Ryan. Do you mind telling the listeners just a little bit about yourself and your firm?
Sure. Thanks, Brett, for having me. My name is Ryan Coburn, as you mentioned, Chief of Staff and Director of Financial Planning at Atlas Private Wealth Advisors. A little bit about myself. So I am a certified financial planner professional, and I am also a recent MBA graduate. I live in Philadelphia with my wife and two kids. And Atlas is a full comprehensive wealth management firm. We focus on four cornerstones, if you want to call it that, which is really wealth planning, asset management, legacy planning, and tax management as well.
Get your hands full, but that's great to know. How big of a firm is Atlas? That is, like, how many employees or maybe how many clients do you serve, and do you work in a particular geography?
Yeah, so I can hit you with both. So we're a team of 17 people. We are spread out geographically. We have five physical locations across the country, West Coast and East Coast. We are primarily a remote first firm. Especially after the pandemic and everything, I think clients have gotten used to Zoom and they actually prefer the convenience of it. We serve 1,200 households about, and we have just under $1 billion in assets under management.
Atlas is similar to eMoney in that we are also a fully virtual or remote company as well. So we have that in common. And just to put everything out there and put our cards on the table, Ryan and I actually previously worked together here at eMoney for a number of years before you transitioned to Atlas. We miss you a bunch, but we're proud of the career development that you've had, and it's always great connecting with you again. So with that out there, the annual eMoney Summit is right around the corner, and hopefully our listeners took the time to check out our previous podcast episode, where I actually interviewed Jamie Giacobbe, who oversees our summit. She gave a lot of great reasons to attend, along with an additional discount code for anyone who has yet to register. So keep that in mind, because we are rapidly approaching the summit towards the end of the month. This year, the theme is Planning Better Together. And Brian, today I wanted to just ask you some questions about basically you and your firm's approach to working collaboratively with clients to accomplish different financial goals. Oftentimes we prioritize a client's retirement goal, which generally makes sense. But that said, could you maybe speak to your process and your firm's process and where and how eMoney fits in?
Yeah, definitely, Brett. And I think this is perfect. And when you talked about recording this podcast, I think it really fits in well, your summit theme, with sort of the why of Atlas, because our why is we believe in educating by using a collaborative financial planning process to ensure financial peace of mind. So really, we embody what your theme is this year. And it definitely is a collaborative process. And eMoney is crucial to all of that. So we work with clients throughout their life cycle. So a lot of our clients have been with us, you know, I think the average length of time is about 10 years. And our sweet spot is really, you know, the years leading up to retirement, and then post-retirement, obviously, as well. And it is a long process. So we work with clients in terms of guiding them on saving ahead of retirement, preparing different investments, preparing different strategies. And it really comes down to them working, saving, and planning. And I think an important thing to mention here, and I'll get into this a little bit later on too, is that with retirement and this big goal that we think of, it is more nowadays sort of that goal of financial freedom. You know, maybe not necessarily stopping work completely, but if one day you say, I hate this and don't want to do work anymore, or you are on the spectrum of, you know, I've been in this job for 45 years and I'm ready to stop. It's really just giving the clients that peace of mind and showing them that peace of mind that they are able to do so and really enjoy, you know, the next phase of life the way that they would want to. In terms of working with eMoney, like I said, it's crucial from the start, right? So in their working years, we get their plan built initially. We have everything from income, expenses, accounts linked at, you know, where we have them managed. And then also we have the accounts that they have outside of their account with us. We want everything in there because we really emphasize the fact that a financial plan is really more than just a single report. It really is everything that makes up their financial lives. So we build that into eMoney. We often have at least one financial planning meeting a year. Oftentimes leading up to retirement, it could be two, it could be quarterly, so up to four times a year. And we start as a basis using the cash flow report. That's sort of the crux of everything. We take a look at all the inflows, all the outflows, the portfolio growth, and we say, okay, what does it look like from now until the end of retirement, in air quotes, is what we like to call it. So that's just their life expectancy, usually 95. We want to make sure that they're making it, right? There's a cushion, they're comfortable. And we really do use the advanced planning feature a lot to kind of go through different scenarios about what retirement or that financial freedom could look like. Something that's great that we've been taking advantage of, especially with retirement planning these days, is the new feature in the cash flow. And I don't know how new it is, but the ability to be able to show future value and present value side by side. This is something that really has been a game changer for us. So thank you and the team for adding that in there, because it definitely helps a lot.
Yeah, no, that's great to hear. And as I'm sure you remember from your time at eMoney, regularly offer software enhancements and releases, and it's actually been maybe sped up a little bit more to almost every 2 weeks or so. There's potential for new features and capabilities. You can always expect to have more great stuff coming down the lines as well. But you mentioned the future value and the present value capabilities. Do you mind expanding on that a little bit more, like when it comes really in handy?
Sure. Yeah, so this is something that, you know, good call. We don't necessarily show this or kind of make the distinction in every single planning meeting that we have. It really depends on the client case, but this is a huge time-saving feature that we use, especially when we're working with either younger clients who have a very long time horizon ahead of them, and or, you know, those really successful high-earning clients where at the end of the day, and you're looking down, you know, 20, 30, 40 years down the line, and they start seeing numbers that are in the tens of millions. You know, I've even seen $100 million at the end of the cash flow report, which is an enormous number, and that's amazing, right? But you also want to be able to explain this to clients. Sometimes they're kind of like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen, right? I'm not going to be ending with $100 million. And in a way, they're right, because that's the future value. That's typically what's shown in eMoney reports. So if we take it a step further and we say, Tom and Jane, you're looking at $100 million in, you know, your age 95. If we bring that down and show you what that $100 million is worth in today's dollars, then it becomes a little bit more palatable, a little bit easier to wrap their heads around, because it's not kind of this pie in the sky type number. Having it here, right in the cash flow report, is huge, because back before that, what we used to have to do is go to the decision center to show this. That was the only place where you could toggle between present value and future value. And it just really didn't fit into the conversation. It was a lot of extra clicks. It would break the flow because I wasn't necessarily done with the cash flow report or showing different things that I wanted to talk about. So having to pause, because I could see the look of confusion on their face or disbelief, to go over to a different screen to the decision center to show them, you know, what that number really means, and then come back to the cash flow, it was very clunky. So now it's very smooth, where I can just toggle on that extra column right within that report. It just makes for a much better conversation.
Excellent. Well, it's great to hear the releases and enhancements we're having are having a big impact in your client meetings and just helping you kind of maintain the flow. Because that can be very important, I imagine, in that client meeting, just to kind of keep the client's head in the game and focusing on the right things. So great, great. Well, switching gears just slightly here, in terms of, right, you know, talking about attaining financial freedom, financial independence, what, and there could be many answers here, but what are, you know, some of the more important factors that you take into consideration, and do maybe one or two maybe outweigh some others?
Yeah, that's a big one. So pretty much everything that goes into the cash flow is crucial when we're having these conversations and really, you know, coming up with a comprehensive plan. Definitely income is a big one, but something that clients don't necessarily realize plays such a huge role in their financial plan is really the expense portion of things. So factoring in total is income, expenses, obviously portfolio size today, growth that we're projecting, and time horizon. But I would say if I had to pick two, probably expenses, time horizon, and I lied, I'm going to pick three, and incomes. those are the three big ones, right? Because early on, we want to focus on, if possible, maximizing income, because the more you make, the more you can save and invest, right? And that's going to help later on down the line. Expenses is huge, because that's a trigger and a variable that clients do have the ability to control up to a certain point, and especially in retirement as well. You know, we show these retirement plans, and one of the most common techniques that we kind of play with in these meetings is, okay, what does it look like if we adjust living expenses in retirement? Because that has a huge impact. Even just $10,000 a year sometimes can make or break the case, because when you're factoring in all of these income expenses and you're saying, okay, you know, should I take that extra trip every year? It might not necessarily be a good idea if you do want to have that stability and that wiggle room. And it's pretty empowering for a client to understand that they can go ahead and, you know, control that and really control the outcome of their plan. And not to get sidetracked, but another e-money report that we tend to use in these conversations, especially when it's leading up to retirement, is the maximum retirement spending report under retirement planning. That's a huge one. We usually start with that, and then we'll adjust the assets remaining field in that report too, because we want to show, okay, how much could you spend theoretically per year in retirement? That's not always the recommended spending level, because like I said, we want to make sure there's a cushion, right? We don't want to just say, hey, you're going to be spending down every dollar and you might not have anything for an unprepared or unforeseen medical expense, for example. But maybe let's say we put in $1 million in that assets remaining field and adjust the plan from there. So being able to do that leading up to retirement, once they retire, and then those first couple, you know, first year or two, I would say is really into retirement when they're figuring things out and getting a good idea of what their expenses are.
And as you know, too, we have the Decision Center, the maximum retirement spending solver, that, again, hopefully this is helping you in those client meetings just kind of stay in one location as opposed to navigating in and out of different areas of the eMoney platform. So I'm sure you're using that now.
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny. The solver is, I think, you know, I used to be really good, especially after leaving eMoney, just to stay up with everything that was changing. I used to religiously read the blog and the product updates and things like that. But it was a very pleasant surprise for myself and my team the day we saw those solvers and kind of progressively getting, you know, released into the platform. I was like, wow, this is huge. Big changes are happening. Back in the day, like you said, it probably would have taken like many, many years to get this done. But I know that this was a request, and there it was. So it definitely makes things more smooth, like you said.
Obviously, we're talking a lot about the common financial items, income, expenses, some of those conventional types of factors. But are there any other less or more intangible or other types of ingredients that are necessary for your plans?
Yeah, definitely. So especially when we're talking about financial freedom and a little bit more in the traditional retirement sense of things. Attaining this financial freedom is crucial, right? To be able to retire and enjoy and to spend their days as they would like to. But this is not the only important ingredient, right? To be able to have that fulfilling retirement. what we're finding more and more, especially as people sometimes are now retiring even younger with the FIRE movement, financial independence, retire early, is that they're stopping work. They have a good nest egg built up. You know, maybe they can sustain themselves throughout age 95 or whatever they want to plan for, but they find themselves feeling unfulfilled, right? If they just all of a sudden get this idea in their head that I want to, no matter what, stop working by 42, and then they do, and then don't have a plan for what's next. You know, a lot of people actually end up going back to work just for the social aspect of it, to stay involved and to have a purpose, right? This is something that's really, really important, is not only having that financial plan in place, but also having a social plan in place. We have a lot of clients that they volunteer, they get involved in their communities, and it's great. And those are the ones that really are enjoying retirement. We've also seen from other clients where, you know, they retire, they're fine financially, but they're just not happy because they're bored, or they're afraid to spend their money. They're afraid to make the donations to the community center or make the donations to the charities that they wanted to and have been planning on doing, just because they're not sure, or they feel unsafe, right? Even though we've shown them the cash flow report over and over again, they're still like, oh, I don't know. Are you sure that I can spend this money? Are you sure that I should do that? Or what do you think that I should do? What do you think that I should do in retirement? And that's something that, these are really great conversations, sometimes a little difficult, but they are happening. It's something that I think gets overlooked, you know, when you're making these plans for retirement.
Really great insight. And I think it's, you said, important to maybe just go beyond those traditional or conventional types of financial objectives, and also, you know, incorporating other types of life goals and objectives as well. And to that point, in case our listeners are not using it, be aware that in the advanced facts, in the advanced fact finder, there is an objectives area that I imagine you may be using right now, Ryan, but you can put in custom objectives where you can maybe say, for some of these life goals, how we can still incorporate them into the plan and have you and your team and everyone be aware of what those non-financial goals are. Awesome. Well, thank you for that. Keeping the conversation going here, Ryan, what are some common mistakes or maybe missed opportunities that you're finding clients typically stumble on?
I think the biggest, probably not necessarily mistake, but more of a missed opportunity, is sort of analysis paralysis, that waiting or hesitating to spend money. You know, there are so many different tools that we have at our disposal, in particular in eMoney, right? You know, you're talking about the objectives and making sure that we are aware of what they want to do in retirement. We have the ability to show expenses differently, right? So you can enter them as goals and look at the goals report. You can enter them as an expense in an advanced plan. And we kind of use a combination of all of these different things to show the client what things could look like. And along that vein, along with the cash flow, we show them, yes, from a straight line perspective, this is what things look like and you're projected to be fine. We do also take the extra step, and we use Monte Carlo in a lot of our plans and planning conversations to say, look, you know, here's the cash flow, here's the projections, but also here's the probability of success. And we show what that looks like, and that even in times, volatile times, right, or with market volatility, their plan is set to hold up. That's crucial. And just getting them to feel comfortable with their financial plan and actually feeling like they can spend the money that they've been saving and earning and putting away for all of these years, that tends to be the missed opportunity, right? People wait, just in general, too long to do things that they want to do. You know, kind of counterintuitive in our industry, but we do encourage our clients to spend more, assuming the plan allows for it. Every situation's different, right? But while people are young, while people are healthy, we encourage them. If we know travel is a big goal for them, they want to be taking their families on these big vacations, but they're kind of afraid to actually book the trip, we show them in different ways over and over again with different numbers, with different scenarios, you know, in a goal and an expense and a plan. We show them that the plan can sustain it, that overall doesn't really have a big impact, right? If they take that big vacation in terms of financial numbers. But if we're looking at sort of happiness factors or quality of life, it's, you can't really put a price on that, right? As long as the plan sustains it, encouraging people to actually take advantage of their good situations, oftentimes the clients that we're working with, fortunately, while they can, I think that's huge and really important.
No, I think that's, again, great insights, and, you know, just using the software to model a myriad of different actions and things that they could do or things that could happen, and using all those different situations to still show, hey, you guys are doing okay, and you can continue to go on those vacations, or you can, you know, start doing those other things that maybe going back to those social and life goals, maybe they can help accomplish some of those. So that's awesome. Now, as we're talking about just planning better together, I imagine that sometimes you run into situations where maybe a client in the household, or maybe both, maybe just aren't very engaged in the planning process. How do you get your clients to engage with you and to stay active throughout the planning process?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, luckily for us, we've been working with a lot of these clients for many years, like I mentioned before. So there really is this deep level of trust and understanding between us. Fortunately, we're able to have these sometimes difficult conversations because they do have faith in us, they do trust us, and they know that we do have their best interest at heart. But like you said, there can be challenges sometimes, right? Even just having them decide what is important to them or what they want to be doing. And especially when there are different ideas with the different spouses, that can be tricky to navigate. And sometimes, you know, we kind of take a pause from looking at the financials, and we really do have those conversations where it's almost like we're playing mediator or counselor to kind of pull out the different things from each of the spouses and be that neutral third party where we're asking the questions, have you thought about doing this? Or, oh, okay, you're thinking about downsizing. Have you actually spent time in that new location? Maybe you get an Airbnb for a month, or, you know, things like that, where we try to help them envision what they're portraying their goals to be. And we really do try and engage them in a bunch of different ways, right? We have newsletters that go out with, you know, relevant articles in terms of what's going on in the world, Financial Times, you know, retirement, different topics, things like that. We engage them in a bunch of different types of meetings at Atlas, right? We have different meeting types like investment planning, financial planning, just regular check-ins. And even just having access to the eMoney client portal is a huge engagement tool as well, right? Because even if we're not necessarily looking at something together for maybe 6 months, we still can see that, okay, clients are logging in. Clients are looking at more than just their accounts. They're looking at their overall financial plan. They're looking at those different metrics that are on there, kind of playing around a little bit, you know, now that there's that functionality as well. Even as much as just having, you know, hey, my password expired, can you help me reset it? Little things like that to keep them engaged. But again, kind of centering on this eMoney portal, this one place that brings it all together, has been huge. And it's great for client engagement.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're hitting all the points here, right? Just to kind of do a quick recap, building trust, building rapport, demonstrating your objective approach to financial planning, incorporating the client in and all the important people in the family in, staying active, communicating early and often, right? Having those touch points, like you said, and like you mentioned last year too, the portal is just a great way to always keep clients engaged because it's always available for them 24/7. It can be a repository for more than just financial information by uploading different documents into the vault. Definitely checked all the boxes there. Awesome stuff. In a similar way, right? Planning better together, planning collaboratively. How often do you incorporate maybe outside financial professionals that a client works with? So for example, maybe a tax specialist or attorney of some sort. How often are you engaging some of those external professionals?
Yeah, fairly often. So like I said, one of the big benefits of our client base for a lot of them is we have been working with them for a while, and we kind of know, we know their situation, we know the other centers of influence involved. Just at Atlas, for example, we do have a pretty solid network of CPAs and attorneys that we work with, that our clients work with as well. So in a lot of the cases, we know the CPAs. We go back and forth in terms of the document sharing and information sharing and strategizing, things like that. I would say it definitely ramps up around retirement, aside from just the annual tax returns, which sometimes we just do communicate directly to the CPAs, you know, with the client saying, yeah, my CPA will give you the forms and things like that, the returns. But especially when it comes to retirement planning and getting things really squared away in terms of maybe Roth conversion strategies or updating wills and estate documents and things like that, usually this is when we really start taking a look at all of these things, making sure everything's in check. So I would say it usually is probably annually, at least for the clients, you know, in retirement age.
Awesome. Are you utilizing the alliance partner capability that essentially gives that external third-party financial professional access to a version of the client's portal?
We have for clients where it's appropriate. It depends on the actual situation in terms of, like I said, sometimes we have these meetings anyways with attorneys or CPAs where we're kind of discussing different clients based off of the client requests and things like that. So it has come in handy, yeah.
But it's just great to hear that you and the firm utilizing a lot of different ways to engage. And again, with the idea that we're all in this together to hopefully plan better all together. Again, that's the theme that we're hammering here, obviously. So, Ryan, appreciate your time. I don't want to take too much more, but is there maybe a final nugget or two that you'd like to share with our listeners today? Maybe something that, oh man, if I knew this on day one, my life would be that much easier or better, or anything like that you want to share with the listeners?
It's really important when you're working with clients, two things. One is to really listen, right? You know, oftentimes, especially when you're maybe starting out, you have this pressure that you feel or that you're putting on yourself to make sure that you're showing the clients that you know what you're talking about and you have all of this amazing information that you really just want to tell them. But sometimes it's even more important to just not talk and to listen to what the client is saying and really hear what they're saying and understand what they're saying, because sometimes what you've prepared maybe becomes irrelevant in the course of a conversation. So just actually hear what the clients are saying and take good notes, right? Remember what they're saying. And the other thing I would say is probably just really focus on balance. Remember that nothing is a given. Planning today is most likely going to ensure a better tomorrow, and really just to encourage the clients not to start saving, not to wait to start saving, right? Number one, you want to be prepared, you want to save, you want to invest, you want to have time on your side, but also don't forget about the balance of not waiting too long to start enjoying, to start living, to, you know, ultimately start spending some of it too. It's just all about that balance.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we were all given, or hopefully all of us were given, two ears and one mouth for a reason, right? So hopefully we're using the ears a little bit more, especially in our client conversations. And yeah, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people, and myself too, sometimes struggle with that balance of living for today, but also trying to plan for the future. But that's exactly why great professionals like you are out there helping clients to maintain that balance. And it's just great to hear how you and Atlas go about this and how you're positively impacting your clients and just collaborating and planning better together. So at this point, I'm going to wrap the interview up. But again, Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time to join and for adding such great insight to the podcast. Again, just want to say thank you for always being a great person to work with.
Absolutely. Thanks, Brett. Thanks for having me. It was great to talk to you.
Excellent. All right. We'll talk soon.
Bye. Take care, everyone.
Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks again, Ryan, for sharing so many great insights. And I'm positive that your remarks are going to have a positive impact on everyone listening. Again, this is Brett Tharp. I'm going to be signing off for now, but I look forward to talking with you in the future. Take care.